This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu wa ba'd. Wa an Aisha radiyallahu anha qalat qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam la tasubbu al-amwata fa innahum qad afdaw ila ma qaddamu akhrajahu al-Bukhari. Aisha radiyallahu anha narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, avoid revealing the dead. They revealing the dead, or avoid saying bad things about revealing bad things about the dead, or don't speak ill of the dead. All this translation can be said. They have already seen the results of the deeds that they forwarded before them. That's hadith reported by Al-Bukhari. And this hadith also was reported from Al-A'mash with an addition. And this addition, that Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha said, قالت ما فعل يزيد الأرجي لعنه الله قالوا مات قالت أستغفر الله. That the story that Aisha, she said, what Yazid al-Arji have done? They said, he died. They said, what Yazid al-Arji, may Allah curse him, have done? She cursed him. They said, he died. Then she said, Astaghfirullah. I said, how you just curse him and now you're saying Astaghfirullah? Then she said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, do not avoid saying bad things about those who passed away. So then she narrated the hadith that I just told you. And Masruq said that Ali radiallahu anhu have sent Yazid ibn Qais al-Arji in the day on the battle of al-Jamal, the camel, with a letter. Then Yazid delivered that, Yazid al-Arji, the one she cursed him, she delivered the message to her from Ali and she didn't reply. Then he said things bad about her. He said bad things about her. That's why she used to say bad things about him in return. She can't stand him. She really hated him. But when she heard that he died, she said, you're not allowed to say bad things about him anymore because he died. And she said, the Prophet ﷺ forbade us an nasubb al amwat, forbade us to say bad things about the people who passed away. This had this narration in Sahih ibn Hibban, and it was also reported from Mujahid and Al-A'mash. Several of the Tabi'een have narrated it with this. Al-Hakim also reported that Abdullah ibn Zubair said, the day Mecca was conquered, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl ran away. He fled. And Imra'atuhu Ummi Hakim bint al-Harith, his wife Ummi Hakim bint al-Harith bin Hisham, she's a wise woman and she became Muslim. Then she said, Ya Rasulullah, can you, I give my protection as a Muslimah for my husband, Ikrimah. Nobody touch him if he's seen. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted that security and protection for her husband. She told her husband and he came back. And she went to her husband and she said to him, I came to you from the most honorable man, from the most generous man, from the best man I ever known, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ وَأَوْصَلُ النَّاسِ وَأَبَرُ النَّاسِ Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I asked him to, I asked him that I'll protect you and nobody will touch you if you go back to Mecca. And he agreed. So Ikrimah said, if this is the case, I will go back with you. When he came to Mecca, then Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his companion, now Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl will come as a believer, as a migrant, even though he lived in Mecca. But because he's left Mecca out, he fled Mecca. Now he coming to Mecca, and some called him Muhajir, as if he made hijrah to the Prophet ﷺ, because at that time the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca. Then the Nabi told them, don't curse his father, Abu Jahl. فَإِنَّ سَبَّ الْمَيِّتِ يُؤْذِي الْحَيَّ وَلَا يَبْلُغُ الْمَيِّتِ. It will only hurt the feeling of the living person, and it will not reach the dead person. يعني when you say, he's this and that, the dead person will not hear that, will not know about that, will not know what he's saying about him. But the only one who will hear that, the one who left behind, his children or his family member, his friends, and they will be hurt by that. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ الْبَابِ when Ikrima arrived to the door, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was happy to see him, and he stood up for him to welcome him. Very happy to welcome him. This is a very famous narration in the books of Sirah. Generally speaking, we don't check the isnad of these narrations in Sirah. If you want to take a general meaning, yes. But if you're going to say as a Prophet ﷺ statement and you treat it like any hadith and you will build rules from it, unfortunately, this story, it is almost fabricated from isnad perspective. فيها موضوع فيها ابن أبي سبرة ومحمد بن عمر الواقدي, and both are known to be liars. And in it, another man is named Abu Habiba, he's an unknown narrator. فيها كذابان وفيها مجهول. يعني this is enough to make this narration, this story, is completely collapse, and it's not to be worth to depend on it. I mention it only because it's very famous about Abu Ikrim and Abi Jahl, that this is what happened to him. And people connect this hadith, which is authentic, which is, I just said in the Bukhari, do not say bad things about the dead because they have left this life and they are basically seeing the results of their deeds. There is no connection between this story and Abu Jahl and Ikrimah. There is no proof that the Nabi said that in regard to that. Can this apply? Yes. The only hadith that suggests the connection, as you heard me, it's a very, very weak hadith. What we learn from this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? Number one, as a Muslim's honor protected as while he's alive, or she's alive, they are also protected after death. And subhanAllah, Islam protect you while you're alive and after you're dead. While you're alive, nobody allowed to talk bad about you, to backbite you, to, you know, say ill things about you, accuse you. Same thing after you die, and it's even worse, because when you die, you can't defend yourself, and you cannot explain, defend yourself. So that's absolutely haram in Islam, to say bad things about people who died and to backbite them and to say ill things about them or to reveal some of their sins that they passed away. There's no need for revealing their sins. And I notice that sometimes it's done unintentionally or intentionally. You know, this person died while he's doing this or doing that. He committed suicide and he killed himself. Why would you say this to the people who don't know how this person died? You know, he killed himself, or he was using drugs, or the police shot him because he was doing bad things. Khalas, he died, no need for it. This specific person, no need to expose that person. Oh, he died, yeah, I know, he used to do this and this and this, and he starts saying the bad things about this person. That's not correct. Sheikh Baz, rahimahullah, he's the one who said that the backbite of the dead is worse than the backbite of the living. Khashihana, ghibatul mayyit a'zam min ghibatil hayy. Backbiting the dead person is worse and more, it's a greater sin than the living one. Because of the reason I said earlier, because the dead can't explain themselves. And there is no way for you to even ask for forgiveness from them before you die. This hadith does not include mentioning the evil of the person who passed away in order for people to be saved from his evilness. Like what we said about Somebody narrated a narrator. He's weak. Like I just said, Al-Waqidi, rahimahullah, he passed away. But I still said he lies. He's a very weak narrator. Or I said he says bid'ah, his innovations in religion. Or he made a statement that is completely wrong in religion. I'm allowed to mention that, but with respect. And I am allowed to say that only for the according to the area that it is needed. Not to make it like, you know, I start talking, he was fat and ugly, and you know, this is nothing to do with what you're talking about. Sometimes we find the ulama mentioned something related to sins that he did. They might mention that for what? لِكَيْ يُبَيِّنُوا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِعَدِلٍ. So to make a point that this person is not a trustworthy. Because as you know, we accept the narration of someone who have two qualities. Number one, a good memory. And number two, he's a trustworthy, he's a religious person. So sometimes they mention he drinks or he does this, or just to show you that he's not, his deen, his faith is not good, it's not reliable. So that's another reason, or bid'ah or something like that. Does this hadith, when the Prophet do not mention the evil things about, is that include also the fasiq, the person who's known openly doing bad things? Is mentioning the bad things that this person who used to do it openly included or not? Okay? And also, does that include Muslim and non-Muslim? Because the Prophet said, Al-Amwat, the dead. He did not say what type of dead. The dead. Does that include Muslims and non-Muslim or not? Wallahu a'lam, that include also the people who used to say to do sins openly, al-fusaq. Also, we should not mention their bad deeds. Let's say there is a singer or like an actor who passed away, and he used to do a lot of bad things. There's no need for mentioning it. Unless you want to warn people. You want to say, for example, you know, this route, going to that route, it can lead to 1, 2, 3, and you might give an example, just for something that well known. Yes. But other than that, there is no benefit from it. It should not be mentioned. Also, some people said it's only for Muslims, not non-Muslims. Why? قالوا, look how the scholars are very critical thinkers and very precise. They said in the hadith, there is an indication that this hadith related only to Muslims. Let me see if you guys can figure it out on your own. I'll read the hadith again. The Prophet ﷺ said, avoid saying bad things about the dead. They have already seen the results of the deeds that they forwarded before them. The result of their deeds that they forwarded before them. What's in this hadith? How ulama rahimahullah said from this narration, we learn, قال فإنهم قد أفضوا إلى ما قدموا. So some said from this we can understand that this talk about Muslims. I don't see it very strong argument, but let's see if you guys can come up with it. قيل. Because when we say they are met what they have put forward, that's in relation to the Muslims, because the Muslim are the only one who will have a record of a deed, good deeds and bad deeds. Non-Muslims will not have a record of good deeds, because if you're not a Muslim, a person who don't believe in God, don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelieve in Allah. So a person who's kafir, he doesn't have two records. Only one record, the record of his bad deeds. Because one of the conditions for any good deeds to be accepted is Islam. And that condition does not exist. So that's why they said, when they meet what they have done, it gives you an indication, يعني the records. I think it's a little bit pushed, like, you know, because you could also say they are meeting what they have done, which is the record of the bad deeds or the kufr. You know, it doesn't really, it's not very clear. أفضوا إلى ما قدموا قد تشمل ما قدموا من الكفر وإلى يعني. But anyway, that's what some of the ulama rahimahullah have said. But I love what other scholars said. They said, we should avoid saying bad things about dead people in general. Muslims is absolutely, it became major, not a major sin, but I mean, it is more severe, okay? And also it became haram when it comes for non-Muslim. If there is someone alive, Muslim or non-Muslim, someone around you will be hurt by this comment. So the Fuqaha rahimahullah, the Muslim jurist said, and they mentioned that specifically. They said, if you talk about someone who passed away in a way that it might hurt the feeling of somebody around you, it became absolutely haram, even if that person who died is fasiq or kafir. You understand? So let's assume Ikrim Abi Jahl case. Not talk about his bidat, so he will not hurt his son. Same thing. Let's say somebody's father was very big mubtadi', an innovator. And I just talk about his bid'ah and how evil, and his son, like one of the students or one of the good people, there's no need for that. Wallahi akhi mashaa abuk hadha Allah yahdi, he did this and this, this, and like maybe true things. But he don't say that, it's my father, you hurting my people. Or my people. Okay. طيب. How can we reconcile between this hadith and the hadith al-Bukhari also, where Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, a janazah passed, a funeral passed by the Prophet ﷺ while sitting. The people around the Prophet ﷺ أثنوا عليها خيرا. They said good things about the person. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجبت. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the person deserved it. Another one passed by, فَأَثْنَوْ عَلَيْهَا شَرَّا. When the other person passed, this person passed, they mentioned bad things about this person. فَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَجَبَتْ. Deserved. Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean by deserved? He said, قَالَ أَمَّا الْأَوَّلْ فَوَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَالثَّانِي وَجَبَتْ لَهُ النَّارِ. أثنيتم عليه شرا فوجبت له النار أنتم شهداء الله في أرضه. You are the witnesses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in earth, and here they deserve, he deserved hell fire, deserved paradise. طيب, question, didn't those people said bad things about the person who died? يعني the janazah passed by and they said bad things about, he's dead. How come in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell them, don't say bad things about him? He's dead. You see? So here, ulama rahimahumullah tried to reconciliate this in many different ways. One of the ways that they tried to reconciliate between them, that they said that this hadith has a story in Musnad Imam Ahmad. That the first janazah, the Prophet ﷺ, when they praised him, he prayed on him. The second one, he did not pray on him janazah. He did not pray funeral prayer on him, on that person. And they mentioned bad things about the person. Okay? So from this, we know that in Nabi ﷺ, he will not pray on who? Hypocrites, who are not Muslims. ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. If he knows that he will be told that this is a hypocrite, he will not pray on the person. So they will know the Prophet, the Sahaba, they will know most likely that this is a hypocrite person. And listen, Nabi Sallam say, I'm not praying on him for other reason. Like for example, because of debt. But if he didn't mention, they know that he's a hypocrite. So from this, the ulama said, the reason that the Nabi did not stop them because he was a hypocrite, not Muslim. And that goes back to the opinion that this, the first hadith, is only related to the Muslims, that you're not allowed to mention the bad things about them. That's what Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah and al-Qadi Iyad said. And some ulama said, no, this is not a strong way of reconciling between hadith. Because in one of the narration, the people said, كان فضًا غليظًا. He was harsh, he was mean, he was bad to people. If he was a kafir or not Muslim or a hypocrite, okay, they will not mention he's mean and he's rude. He will say that he was a hypocrite. He was, you know, they will mention that. Some people said, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed it before the funeral, but he didn't allow it after the barrier. Okay? But again, I don't agree with that. He said dead. It doesn't matter. Funeral did not say anything about burying. Some ulama said, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed it only because he want people to learn. So he allowed it as a form of warning and education. Like I said, you're allowed to mention the bad things about someone for people to avoid this. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to tell them that those who are mean, those who are rude, those who are bad to others, fadh ghaleed, those who are bad to others and people hate them, they deserve the hellfire. They deserve to be punished for that. To make a point in front of the Sahaba that the religion is not just, or what can cause and lead to hellfire, is not only that breaking rules, but also breaking the code of manners and code of engagement with people and so forth. And that's something As-San'ani rahimahullah mentioned, okay? And other ulama rahimahumullah. One of the things that in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they have met the record, their deeds of records, because there's no point from, when you mention something bad about somebody, you should mention it with the intention of correcting the person, advising the person. But if he died, there is no point from that. Also, there is, it will hurt other people's feeling who are alive. طيب, then the next hadith عن حذيفة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة قتات متفق عليه. This hadith al-Bukhari Muslim, Hudhayfa narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a qattat will not enter paradise. A qattat will not enter paradise. Qattat. Qattat, it means هو المكثر من القت. Somebody does something a lot. What's that thing? I'll explain to you. Who does al-qat so much. Yani it's not once, or two, or three. No. He is excessive in doing this. What's al-qat? Okay? القت هو النم هو إيش النم و من زوره وهيئه وسواه. The one who will, the backbiter, the one who backbite, the one who gossip. قالوا هو الذي ينقل الكلام بقصد الإفساد. The one who will take your whatever you said, he will say to other people to get you in trouble or to make people hate one another. Start fight between, hey, I heard him saying this and this about you. So he heard you saying something, then he will take it. You know, I'm talking to you and I'm angry. He said, you know what? He is this. Then, you know what he said about you that day? He said that you are this. You are this and that. So, ينقل الكلام بقصد الإفساد. هذا هو القتات. طيب, and he said and he makes it up and he basically adds spice to it, and you know that's القتات. They said النمام لا يدخل الجنة نمام في لفظ لمسلم من حديث حذيفة أيضا. النمام, another word came. النمام, العلماء رحمه الله said, is not the same exactly. قالوا النم, to listen to people's conversation without them knowing or realizing, then you deliver it to other people to create problem between them. هو القط هو الذي ينقل الكلام ويهيئه ويزوره. والنم هو الذي يسمع الكلام ثم ينقله. So النم is to hear it, then you share it with other people just to make them a problem. طيب. So they said النم, you take that word or transfer or you share the conversation or the statement of some people with others to make trouble between them, while those people not knowing that you are listening to them. That's annam. Al-qat, no, they have you part of the conversation and they know that you're listening to them, but again, they didn't expect you to do that, and you take it and you do, say, share it with others just to create problem between people. No doubt, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, لا يدخل الجنة, will not enter Jannah. ونحن سبق أن قلنا هذا التعبير يدل على أن هذا من كبائر الذنوب. Anytime the Prophet said will not enter Jannah, it means it's a major sin and it's not كفر. لا يعني هذا أنه لن يدخل الجنة مطلقة, لا, لن يدخل الجنة إلا بعد أن يعذب, إلا بعد أن يحاسب, إلا بعد, لا يدخل الجنة مع أول من يدخل, لأن هذا ليس مخرج من الملة القت والنم. We know that this is not an act of kufr. So when he said, will not enter Jannah, yeah, will not enter Jannah among the first patch, will not enter Jannah right away, will not enter Jannah until he held accountable. Why do we have to add these meanings? Because we know that backbiting and gossip is not a kufr. It doesn't take you out of Islam. Okay? So that's why we understand this statement will not enter Jannah in that meaning. قال الذهبي رحمه الله, it is النميمة من كبائر الذنوب, among the major sin, and it is forbidden by the consensus of the Muslim scholars, and there is overwhelming evidence to establish such ruling. So remember, this is one of the things will delay a person to enter Jannah, one of the reasons for people to enter hellfire, one of the things that will make the person face the records in the day of judgment. Because when you backbite, when you gossip, when you create problem between people, they will be your enemy in the day of judgment. You have to cross them first. They have to forgive you. They might take from your hasanat or give you from their sins. So it's a serious violations. Also, This hadith should be combined with other ahadith and other evidence in the Quran and Sunnah. The one who does a major sin, do not leave the fold of Islam. Do not leave the fold of Islam. Anyone who commit a major sin, still a Muslim. Yani, one of the biggest major sin we know in Islam is what? Killing. That's right. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. If two group of Muslims fight one another. So Allah called them mu'mineen, believers. They're still believers, even though they're fighting one another and they're killing from each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Make peace between your brothers. He called them brother. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. If your brother forgive you, and that basically your brother is what? Referring to the relationship between the killer and the inheritor of the blood. You know, when someone kills someone and the inheritor of the blood, either they ask for that person to be executed or for they can forgive him and ask for a ransom, a blood ransom, they call it, diya. Anyway, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people commit zina or commit major sins, drinking alcohol, he didn't say you left the fold of Islam and you have to be Muslim again, or zina. No, he treated like sin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the day of judgment, the person who committed major sins will come with the deeds and people will start taking from his deeds. So even though he committed major sin like killing and backbiting and all this, people lying, people will start taking from his good deeds. If he became kafir, if the person became kafir by committing these major sins, in the day of judgment, he will not come with these deeds. Because Allah said, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. If you commit shirk, you lose all your good deeds. So that means he's not a mushrik, he's a Muslim. That's why he came with all these deeds in his record. طيب. النميمه, backbiting, gossip is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ عُتُلٍ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these verses in Surah Al-Qalam, among the early verses in the Quran, warning people from such attitude and such behavior, which is gossip and backbite. And al-hammaz, the one who spread between people what turned them against each other. يفسد القلوب مشاء بنميم. طيب, the one who, sorry, the مشاء, the one who walked between people and spread among people what will turn them against each others. والهمز, the one who always make comments and give names and accuse people. والعتل هو الفاحش اللئيم الغليظ الجاف. طيب, بعد ذلك زنيم. عتل يعني the one who is aggressive, the one who is indecent, the one who is plotting, the one who is rude. Okay, all these quality and characters been put together to show how ugly that person is when he have this kind of quality. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ. Wail is a valley in hellfire, a very evil place in hellfire. Allah prepared that valley, that place, for certain people who committed certain sins. Among them, لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Who is al-humaza? قيل الهماز هو النمام, the person who gossip. Also قيل هو الطعان الذي يعيب الناس, the one who always criticize people. He always point finger to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وامرأته حمالة الحطب. His wife, the carrier of al-hatab. Hatab, usually we understand it as she carried what? The blocks for fire, you know, the woods for fire. Firewood. But if you look at the books of tafsir, some of the tafsirin said, قيل الحطب هي النميمة. Because she used to, why she's been punished that way? So she will carry that firewood, okay, to go to put it in the hellfire and to burn herself in it. They said because she used to gossip and to go around and say bad things about the Prophet ﷺ. They said the connection between the two, because your words are like these firewoods. It will start the fire. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, also give an example in Surah Al-Tahrim by the wife of Prophet Lut and Prophet Nuh. قال فخانتاهما. They betrayed their husbands. What is betrayed their husbands? قيل الخيانة هنا النميمة كان ينقلان أخبار أزواجهما إلى الكفار. They used to gossip. They used to take what their husband says and they tell the kuffar, the disbelievers. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني in many ahadith, he described the one who gossip and the one who backbite, that he is أشرُّ الناس, the worst person. And this came in hadith reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Ya Rasulullah, he was asked, he said, sallam, do you want to tell me who is the worst among you? They said, absolutely. Then he said, Al-Mashya'una bin Namima, the one who spread gossips. Al-Mufarriquna bayna al-Ahibba. Al-Baghuna lil-Bara'i al-Anat. He said, the one who spread gossips. Just move on. Because what happened, why they are worse people? Because they turn the community against each other, turn family against each other, turn friends against each other. That's one of the worst things can do. One of Allah's favor upon us that He bring our hearts together. So you undoing the work of Allah. That's the way the shaitan is. يُلْقِي بَيْنَهُمْ الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ. Shaitan wants to create animosity, to divide people. That's exact. You are exactly doing the role of the shaitan and undoing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing. جراحات السنان لها التئام ولا يلتئم ما جرح اللسان. يا سلام. They said, the wound that it caused by swords, one day it will be closed and it will be healed. But the wounds that they were caused by the tongue, they will always be open and sometimes never healed. So be careful what you say with your tongue. Also, such person is hated by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in this hadith Abu Hurairah fi al-Tabarani, the most beloved one to me, the one among you who possess the best of manners, al-muwatta'una aknafa, the one who's easygoing, alladhina ya'lifuna wa yu'lafun, those who are easy to befriend with people and people to befriend with them. وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ إِلَيْهِ, the most hated among you to me, أَلْمَشَّاءُونَ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ, the one who spread gossip among others. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, would you like to know what is better than extra fasting and extra sadaqah and extra prayer? They said, Ya Rasulullah, absolutely. Then he said, when you see two people have a problem with each other, try to reconcile between them. Bring them together. Help them to talk to one another. Help to remove that hatred, animosity, and basically, when they are not connected or disconnected from each other, try to reconnect them together. Then in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, be aware of the thing that will shave your deen. Yani what shave you? You have a hair. When you shave it, all your hair off, that's right? Your hair represents your faith. That thing represents the razor. What that thing is, the gossip. The more gossip you do, you remove the hair until you have no hair, no iman, no hasanat. That's how the Prophet ﷺ have put it. قال لا أقول تحلق الشعر ولكن تحلق الدين. It will shave your deen. It will shave your faith. تنح عن النميمة واجتنبها فإن النم يحبط كل أجر يثير أخ النميمة كل شر ويكشف للخلائق كل سر ويقتل نفسه وسواه ظلما وليس للنم من أفعال حر. Be careful because it is a major sin. Also, النمام is the one that the Prophet ﷺ said have two faces. Worse people who have two faces. He meet you with a face and behind your back he have another face. He's with you listening to what you said and smiling. Behind your back, he relate to people what you just said and change it and make it in a way just to make people hate on one another and to disconnect people from one another. This qattat, gossip and spreading the words between people to make animosity between them, it's a true form of hypocrisy. طيب. People ask Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, إن ندخل على صلاطيننا فنقول لهم بخلاف ما نتكلم إذا خرجنا من عندهم. فقال ابن عمر كنا نعد هذا نفاقا على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Bukhari reported that Muhammad ibn Ziyad said people came to ibn Umar and they said, Ya ibn Umar, sometimes when we go visit government and government officials and princes and governors and wulat and people like in high ranks in government, we will say to them very different than what we say about them in their absence. Like when we are not with them, we have completely different things to say about them. But in front of them, we say nice things and praise them. But behind their back, Ibn Umar said, we used to consider this in the time of the Prophet ﷺ a form of hypocrisy. That's the two faces people. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث رواه ابن أبي الدنيا: من كان ذا لسانين جعل الله له يوم القيامة لسانين من نار. Those who have two tongues. What two tongues mean? يعني two face. One tongue when he talked to you, and behind your back of another tongue, another way of talking to him. Allah will make for such person two tongues on fire in the day of judgment. And I want to tell you, if ever somebody come to you and tell you, oh, they said this and this about you, so-and-so said this about you, I guarantee he will do the same to you. Don't think the person who come and gossip to you and tell you the gossip and tell you what people say about you, he loves you. If he loves you, he wouldn't do that. Oh, I just want to tell him. You can warn him without this. Without making it turn to animosity between people. يقول الحسن البصري: من نقل إليك حديثا فاعلم أنه ينقل إلى غيرك حديثك. Whoever tell you what people say about you, he will tell them also what you say. النمام is somebody can be trusted. You know? And when somebody gossip, will lie, will backbite, will betray, well, usually comes from animosity, comes from jealous, comes from hypocrisy, comes from causing problem between people, cutting ties. All these are sins connected to the gossip. So it's not just one sin. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the worst person, the person that people will avoid him because of his evilness, the evil of his tongue, and because he caused problem. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Allah's, one of the punishment for النمام, that this person will be punished in his grave. You remember النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by two graves and he said they are punished in something major. في البخاري ومسلم. قال بلى إنه كبير أحدهما كان يمشي بالنميمة. One of them used to spread gossip between people. Also, يعني الشافعي رحمه الله said, كم في المقابر من قتيل لسانه كانت تهاب لقاؤه الشجعان. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, as you heard the hadith, will not enter Jannah right away. So will not enter Jannah النمام. Ali radiallahu anhu, it was reported, a man came to him and he said, you know Ali, such and such person saying this and this about you. Then Ali radiallahu was angry and he said, ya hada, hey man, nahnu nas'alu amma qult, fa'in kunta sadiqan maqatnak, wa'in kunta kathiban aqabnak, wa'in shi'ta an nuqilaka aqalnak, faqala aqilni ya amir al-mu'minin. He said, listen, what you just told me about that person, you have three choices. Either I check if what you said is true, that you really said this about me, you're not allowed to come to my gathering or my sitting again. Because you are a person who spread, who basically transfer the other people talk. Qattat and Namam. You're hated, you're not welcome. And if you're lying, this person never said that about me, you'll be punished. And the third one, you just say right now, excuse me, I'm sorry, just forget about it, and I will forget about it. And you never bring this kind of talk again. Then he said, I choose the third one, please forgive me. Also, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, a man came to him and he said something about him, to him about someone else who said things about Umar ibn Aziz. And he said the same thing. And he recited the verse, when a fasiq come to you with a naba, with the news clarified. And if you are true, if what you said true about the person, you are Hamaz Masha'in bin Abim. And the third one, I will let you go and forgive you, but with the promise you never say that again. He said, I promise you I will never come back to you again. جاء رجل إلى علي بن الحسين. A man came to علي بن الحسين رضي الله عنه. And he said to him, so-and-so said bad things about you, he cursed you. And Ali ibn al-Husayn, he wanted to teach that person a lesson. He said, let's go to him. What? He said, yeah, let's go to him. You said he said that about me? Let's go to him. So he took him and they went to that person who cursed Ali ibn al-Husayn. When they came to that person's house, فَلَمَّا وَصَلَ إِذَا رَجَلْ قَالَ لَهُ يَا أَخِي إِن كَانَ مَا قُلْتَ فِيَّ حَقًّا فَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِي وَإِن كَانَ مَا قُلْتَ فِيَّ بَاطِلًا فَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. He went to that person at home. The person came out from the house. He said, my brother, this man told me what you said about me. If what you said about me is true, may Allah forgive me. And if what you said about me is not true, may Allah forgive you. As if you want to teach both lessons. The one who transferred, who delivered the statement to him and he told him about, and the person who backbite him. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Sulaiman, he was sitting and Zuhri with him. A man came to him and he said, yes, Sulaiman, I was told that you said something bad about me and said this and this about me. Sulaiman said, I didn't say that about you. So Sulaiman told him, no, the one who told me that you said is a trustworthy person. فَقَالَ الزُّهْرِ, he said, you cannot say he's trustworthy because the one who told you that this man said this and this about you is a namam. And a namam is not trustworthy. Then Sulaiman told the person, you can go free. Otherwise he's the governor, he would put him in trouble. Anyway, and there is many stories about al-ulama rahimahumullah and a statement in regard to an-nam. Yahya ibn Kathir said, an-namam, the one who spread gossip, can spread corruption in a short period of time, what a magician cannot do in a long period of time, in a month. وكان أيضا يقول يحيى بن أبي كثير, he said, النمام, the one who gossip and spread and transfer the bad things from one person to another to make a fight between them or to create hatred between people, he said that النمام أضر من عمل الشيطان, worse than the shaitan work, the shaitan's work. Why? قال لأن الشيطان بالخيال والوسوس. A shaitan come to you from within, whisper to you, give you hints. But an-namam, he come in front of your face and directly try to mislead you and make you hate your friends. That's why al-ulama rahimahullah said an-namima is a form of magic. Why? Because magic is originally meant يفرقون بين المرء وزوجه. Magic is meant to break homes and ties and turn people against each others. And the same thing with the namam. That's what he does in namam. He basically turned people against each other when he said to you, hey, this person's this and said person that about you. Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah mentioned a story to show you how these things can escalate. Maybe we can end with this. He said, أَنَّ رَجُلًا رَأَى غُلَامًا يُبَاعُ وَهُوَ يُنَادَى عَلَيْهِ لَيْسَ بِهِ عَيْبٌ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ نَمَّامٌ فَاسْتَخَفَّ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ بِالْعَيْبِ وَاشْتَرَاهُ. You know, in the old days, they used to have a slave market. So this man was in a slave market, and there is a slave, the one who basically selling that slave, who was saying, this slave is doing everything good except has one bad quality. He is namam. He hear things from people and he delivered to other, he caused fitna. Otherwise, he is perfect. He's a good worker, hardworking, strong, blah, blah, blah. So a man, he said, oh, that's not a big deal. Who cares about him? I'm not going to socialize with him. Then he purchased it. He stayed with him 4 days. ثم قال هذا الغلام لزوجتي سيده. He told this man's wife, إن سيدي يريد أن يتزوج عليك. وأنه قال إنه لا يحبك أو يتسرى. He said to the wife, you know, your husband said that he doesn't love you and he want to marry another one or have another woman. فإذا أردت أن يعطف عليك ويترك ما عزم عليه, if you want him to love you and not to marry someone else, فإذا نام فخذ الموس واحلقي شعرات من تحت لحيته واترك الشعرات معك. If you want him to be in love with you, take the what do you call the الموس اللي هو إيش ال shape the razor, yeah, and shave few hair from underneath his hair, his beard. Take the razor and shave a little bit from underneath his beard. Take these hairs and keep it with you. Okay. Then the woman, she basically started thinking about it and like wondering if this is true or not. Watching, and believe me, whenever you put something in your head, it's easy to interpret everything according to what's in your head. Oh my God, he really doesn't love me. He doesn't really care about me. Anyway, then later on he came to the husband. See, Namam, this is it. Al-Dhahabi mentioned this story to show you that how Namam is so evil. He came to the husband and he said, my master. He said, yes. Tell you something, I'm not sure how I can tell you about it. He said, what? He said, your wife has a boyfriend. She loves him. And she likes him. And they've been talking about to get rid of you. Huh? Yes. And she planned to kill you while you sleep. If you don't believe me, when you go to bed tonight, act as if you're sleeping and see what's going to happen. He said, okay. He went and he's not asleep. Then the woman came with the razor and she put it here under his beard. The man saw that she had the razor or the knife and she wanted to shave some of the beard. He basically took the knife and he stabbed her and killed her, thinking that he's defending himself before. Then when he killed her, her family, this slave screamed, so her family came. He saw them, they saw the husband kill the wife, so they killed the husband. They killed the husband. And the whole two families started having a fight with each other's, and the slave ran away, freed himself. Dhabi rahimahullah said, see how the one who got this slave in the beginning, he underestimated the dangers of an-namam. He underestimated the dangers of that quality. That quality can cause so much distraction, so much problem. And I'm sure there's so many stories you hear, even they make movies out of these, you know, stories about, you know, people comes and cause just, there is people just love to cause trouble between people and make them turn against each other. So that's why Allah called them fasiq. إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Be aware of that fasiq who tried to say things just to turn you against each other. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect from us from such quality and protect us from such people, to have them at home, at work, or at community. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Do you have any questions or are we good to go, inshallah?
So we learned that there's some of the scholars who hold that opinion that that perhaps it is okay before the person is buried to say something. Is there a little more to that in that they would not have their deeds before them while they were, before they were put into the ground?
Yeah, he was asking those who said it is allowed to mention the bad things about a person before the person buried, because they have not yet met the record. Yeah, but also there is another two description. They died and they met the record. When we say don't say bad things about people who died because they have met the record. So is the ruling has to do with meeting the records or has to do with the dying? Also, is meeting the record means in the grave or in the moment of death? Because as we die, we meet our record. In a sense, you will know upon death, you go to hellfire or paradise. So that means you met your record, you met the outcome of your deeds. Also, the whole point is not to talk about somebody who cannot defend themselves or passed away, or it's just not a very, it's not a good manner. So it doesn't really matter if the person is buried or not buried yet. But the argument that you mentioned is exactly what they use also to make their point. Yes? Definitely to make a istighfar and to say good things about the person. Okay, and if you did this in front of people and you can tell those people, hey, by the way, what I said about this person was wrong, should not be doing that. Yeah. That's what An-Nawawi rahimahullah said. He said, and Al-Ulama rahimahullah said, it's even better than going to the, if you go to the person and say, hey, by the way, I backbite yesterday, that can cause more harm. And we don't want this to happen. You can make sadaqah on behalf of the person as well. You can make, you know, sadaqah on that person's behalf. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reconcile between people. Like he will, when someone wants to take from you, do something like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will offer them a higher place in Jannah if they will let go. And this hadith Muslim Ibn Ahmad, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried when he said that. Baka Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said that. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to two people, and he will, when he approached them, they will make sujood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raise your heads. And he see this place, they see a beautiful place. And he said, Ya Rab, is this a place for a prophet or a messenger or maybe a martyr, shaheed, someone like maybe very special to you? Then Allah said, no, this place is for those who are willing to forgive their brothers and sisters today. If you're not willing to take from their good deeds and to give them from your bad deeds, that's your place. Then he said, Ya Rab, I forgive him. I want that place. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam baka, in Nabi sallallahu cried, and he said, if Allah reconciliate between people in the day of judgment, you should reconcile between people in this dunya. قال إذا كان الله يصلح ذات البين في الآخرة فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم في الدنيا. That's why إصلاح ذات البين, reconcile between people in dunya, is one of the greatest things. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.